What happens to us after we die? Do we cease to exist? Or do we live on? This may be the biggest question that mankind has ever asked, as well as what this podcast is about. In this show, we will examine past life memories, speak with professional hypnotherapists, astral projection practitioners, psychics, and much more. All in an attempt to decipher this riddle. So welcome to the puzzle. Welcome to the regression session. Welcome back to the regression session. My name is Ian, and this week I am heartbroken. Nah, just kidding. I am a little annoyed though because my audio for this episode is so bad. It's detestable and disgusting, and I am really disappointed. But I did my best to kind of fix it. There was some kind of a compression issue with my microphone or my software or whatever. But Chrissy and Vera, who are the ones that I was talking to, their audio sounds great. And they have some very interesting perspectives on spirituality. They have some really unique concepts and some really cool experiences. So I'm really hoping you guys will forgive me for my really shitty audio. But Chrissy and Vera have their own YouTube channel and their own podcast, and there's going to be links to those in the description. I'm also going to just allow them to kind of plug their stuff at the end so you can hear what they have to offer. And go check them out as soon as you're done here. Seriously, they're awesome. If you want to come onto the show to share your past life memories or your experiences with any metaphysical topic, shoot me an email. My email is theregressionsession@gmail.com. And here's my episode with Chrissy and Vera.
Hey guys, thanks for coming on to the show.
Thank you for inviting us.
Exactly. This is so much fun, Ian.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And like I said before we started recording, just for the audience's sake, if you don't mind introducing yourselves real quick, that'd be fantastic.
Sure. My name is Vera, and I co-own Souls Enlightenment with Christina. And I've been doing regressions for millions of years. Yeah, but I was mentored by Sylvia Brown, and she's the one that taught us how to do regressions, and I just started flying after that. It is my passion. Chrissy?
Okay, so I'm Chrissy, and I co-own Souls Enlightenment with Vera, as you just said. I'm an artist, primarily angels, and actually, you know, goddesses and different images that Vera describes from the other side, because Vera's also a psychic medium, right, and she describes information from the other side about angels and so forth, and that's what I create. So I, too, worked at Sylvia Brown's office at the spiritual organization, and that's how we met. And
yes.
Here we are today.
And the rest is
magic.
History.
Lots of magic, yeah. Yes.
I like magic better. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, I've been trying to get a medium to come on the show for so long. I'm on like 20 episodes or more at this point as of recording this episode. And I've been reaching out to all kinds of mediums because for some reason they're really shy and they don't want to usually come on shows like this.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. I don't blame them. There's a lot of taboo around it, and that's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you wouldn't mind, tell me a little bit about, like, okay, so what is it like to be a medium?
Well, that was kind of an accident.
And it's an amazing story, by the way.
Yeah, you tell it.
This is like my favorite story ever. All right, so October 25th, 2004 was the very first night that this situation happened. I was doing a hypnosis session for Vera. And it was for back pain at the time. Mm-hmm. And during the session, you started to describe a big Scottish man. And he was giving you all this information. His name is Angus. That's where it all started. And it was he was from a past life.
Right.
Actually, several past lives. And that we shared with him. And you were his sister in many of these past lives. Okay, fast forward to a year later. Because he was giving us so much amazing information that we kept doing these sessions. So we did it once a week. And a year later, we were doing the session as usual. And Vera trailed off. And I kind of thought that she fell asleep. Because as you know, Ian, the hypnosis session or past life regression is just a deep, relaxed, meditative state. So I thought, like I said, that she fell asleep because it was a long while. And then when she started to talk, it kind of cleared her voice like this and spoke in a Scottish accent, a very deep voice. And he said, there's more coming. And he started talking. I'm saying he because she was channeling Angus. He started talking with this accent. And he was referring to Vera in the, you know, what is that, third person or what have you, talking about his sister. And that's when it all began. So he said, well, I can't stay long. And then, of course, I'm over here with my jaw on the floor. I'm like speechless. And then I'm like, okay. And then after a few moments, then all of a sudden, Vera in her chipper usual voice started talking again. So after the session, I go, Vera, I told her what happened. I go, this is what happened. Oh my God, it's so exciting. It's amazing. And
you should have seen her face, Ian.
Oh my gosh.
And she was like, yeah.
I was so excited.
And that's him back there. I know people can't see.
Yeah. But yeah. This is a picture of Angus. Anyway, so I was so excited and Vera completely freaked out. She's like, what? And it was a while. Before, because I said no,
never doing this again, ever, ever, ever. And now we do them on our website.
Exactly.
We have Evening with Angus.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, I would say that's not common. I mean, in all your years of doing hypnosis sessions, have you ever had a client channel, I mean, truly channel, where you step out, you don't remember anything, and he comes in and uses your vehicle, gives information.
Yeah, no.
Very.
The closest I had was Michael. But that wasn't channeling.
That wasn't channeling, right. But anyway, so that's how it all began. And that was, what, 2005. So it's been an amazing adventure. And now we have these events where people themselves can be there when she channels them. And Angus gives them information.
Yeah. So he's my master teacher on the other side. Mm-hmm.
So channeling people like that, where they come through and speak as the other person, that's not common then?
Oh, I think people do that.
I mean, it. I
for would, us, it wasn't common.
No.
I think that's what you meant.
Well, as a full trance medium, that to me is not that common.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not that many people. I mean, there are people that are a full trance medium, but I was pretty blown away, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that happen, I think, maybe 3 times. But it was all my siblings. I think that my siblings might have some of those mediumistic qualities.
Yeah.
Because I had my sister in particular has she called it a possession, but it was just a little girl that came through. And what's interesting about it is I was trying to do my own regression. I gave my brother a script because everybody around here is just absurdly expensive. They're like $250 to $300 an hour. So I was just like, here, read the script to me. And I saw this little impression of a little girl with red hair with like braids that came down her shoulders. And that's the little girl that my sister described. And the little girl came through and she's like, I wanted to talk to you. I didn't want to really talk to your sister.
Oh,
and I was like,
cool.
Okay, that's weird. She was like, yeah, I don't think I'm one of Taylor's past lives. And I was like, okay, well, what are you? And she was basically like, yeah, I'm a ghost and I've been wandering around for almost 200 years. And it was weird. So I can understand where you're coming from when you were like, oh my Yeah. Oh my word. What's happening?
I told her, I go, I am never doing this again.
Yeah.
And then I just did it for Chrissy.
Yeah, because I was going through, you know, and I really didn't talk about it actually, but I was going through a lot of post-traumatic stress and stuff like that. And, you know, Vera and I were such great friends, and she was helping with information in my life and really helping me in my own healing process.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's amazing how the road twists and turns to where all of a sudden you realize, oh, this is my purpose, you know, right?
Yeah,
this is
exactly.
Our purpose, and what we're doing is to help other people with this.
Because even before, when we started Souls Enlightenment, Chrissy kept going, we should do trances. I'm going, nope.
Yeah.
No. We'll not do it. And guess what we're doing?
Yeah.
Trances on our website. So, you know.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting to me.
Yeah.
So what's it like? So when you enter into a trance, what is it like for you?
For me, personally, because everyone's different. But what I do is usually I meet what Chrissy does too. I can do it on my own, but I rather have someone that I trust with me. And so I always have Chrissy, you know, relaxing me. And then I see Angus, and then sometimes we go to this place in Scotland that we used to go, that we used to be in the past life. And I just sit around this campfire with him, and then he's gone, and I'm just there with other, like my another spirit guide I have is Indian Joe. So I talk with them while he's, I guess, talking with Chrissy.
Yeah.
And then I just come back in. I just don't know how to describe it other than that. I'm just not able to. Some people can hear what's going on in their when they channel. I have not yet. The closest I got was, you know, when you're underwater and you hear people talking, that's as close as I could get to hearing what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't usually at all know what they're talking about after I come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when I fill her in.
Yeah.
Fill her in on all the details.
So it's just, I just kind of chill where I'm at. It could be that place. Sometimes we're at it's like an event. What's it called?
Right. It's like a big stage. And there's a whole lot of entities on the
other
side.
And there's a long table, and there's a bunch of people around, and then I'm just talking with them. And there's a whole audience watching. It's just bizarrely awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting.
Yeah.
So is Angus the only one that you channel?
So far, yes. Yeah, because we made a contract, and it was him and I. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's what I was told later.
Right.
Yeah.
Although there was one other, but.
Oh, yeah.
And he did say that eventually that would be something that you would be doing as others. But at this point, it's always been Angus.
Yeah.
Except for that one time.
Yeah. And that was somebody close to us.
Yeah.
And she just wanted to prove that she could do it.
Yeah.
It was like a second.
Just for a second. Yeah.
Because even I was taught, I looked at Chrissy, and then her eyes were like bugging out, and her chin was down to the ground almost.
Only because it sounded just like her, and it wasn't anything that we were talking about.
No.
It was her.
And you could see
and
her
I could
eyes.
See it.
Yeah.
And we didn't even, it was just bizarre.
Yeah.
We weren't talking about it. We didn't plan it. It just happened.
Yeah. We were just talking.
Yeah.
In the living room.
It was fascinating.
This is all fascinating.
I know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. It is fascinating. And there's a lot of questions I want to ask you guys about it. But I don't even know where to start because I've never talked to a medium before. So as far as like the messages from Angus, are they always like positive messages or what kind of things does he talk about?
I would say they're empowering messages because a lot of times it's what people need to hear. It's not always like what you just said. I mean, earlier. Not always what we want to hear is what we need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
but I've always heard he's kind.
Oh,
whenever
definitely.
He says it, you know how sometimes you could tell somebody, well, this is what you have to do. This is what you charted. I didn't mean to bang on the table.
Yeah.
But he's, I guess he says it in a way that's very kind. I just don't like to listen in after. Once I'm done, that's it. Chrissy listens to him over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he's just so kind and patient and... It's not like, you know, I don't know, a forceful thing. It's just empowering. Just the insight of it is that he gives is so amazing.
And it helps you to understand why you're here and what it's all about.
Exactly. Yeah. So many answers into ourself.
Yeah.
A lot of times past life related too.
Because I'm not the type of medium that, well, I can, like if I do readings and if a loved one comes, I'll give the message. But that's not my deal. I'm not like some mediums that's all they do is just tell you about your, you know, one at a time, your loved one. It's just if it happens in the reading, that's it. I just don't do it, I guess, as a career. I don't know how you say it, but yeah, that's pretty much, I just channel Angus and get messages from people during readings. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha. So is it just like in general when he tells you like why we're here, is that specific for each person or is it just in general like this is why we're here as people?
Both.
Right. I mean, when we're doing an Evening with Angus event and everybody has a question that's particular to them, he answers everybody's question, but through the night he's also giving a message that's more general that is for everyone. Mm-hmm. So it's both, definitely.
So you have a one-on-one with him, but also there's that, I guess, after talk.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So
we'll invite you one of these days.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I would love to come.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That would be fun.
You could be our guest.
Okay, yeah. I would love to come on and listen.
Yeah.
So why do you guys think we're here then, according to Angus anyway?
Well, that's a great question. And what our philosophy is that we come into life to learn spiritual lessons. And throughout our life, we have many different, sometimes they even repeat so that we get them. And sometimes they're from past lives that we have to finish off. Mm-hmm. And that's Vera's specialty, obviously. I say obviously because she's known as the past life psychic medium. Because a lot of our things that we are going through stemmed in past mm-hmm. lives. I mean, when I was talking earlier about the post-traumatic stress, I just wanted to mention that a lot of my relationships in the past have been very difficult or abusive or whatever, right? But that's because of past life lesson that started, like, let's say if you're attacked, like in a physical attack. Mm-hmm. And then we chart people in this life to overcome that power that they once had over us to reclaim our own power. So that's why we might chart very difficult situations to find those amazing qualities about ourselves, whether it's our inner beauty, our strength, our personal power, whatever. So that's one of the main aspects of our philosophy, is that we're here to learn spiritual lessons, to basically perfect our soul, to achieve the spiritual heights that we want to gain.
Yeah. And make contracts with God. It's not like God punishes us and say, oh, you have to go through this. We're the ones that want to go through it to experience. And then there's other people that are around us that experience as well, because that ripple effect, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So how, in your guys' philosophy or opinion, do we finish those soul lessons that we agree to take on? Because in my own experience, I've had, I don't know what it was all about. I was really confused when I was talking about it, but I was talking about how I made some kind of an agreement before coming here, mm-hmm. and it was really vague. And Fiona, the hypnotist that was working with me, asked, so what kind of agreement was it, or what was going on? I was just said that information is prohibited, which was kind of weird.
That's interesting.
But yeah, right. And so I was just really confused. So how do we continue working with those?
You mean learning or
with the soul lessons? How do we continue to finish off those soul lessons that we agreed to come here to learn then?
Well, I think that's a great question, mm-hmm. because ultimately that's going to surface in your chart no matter what,
right.
because you wrote them in. And for example, it's like with my own relationship example, I kept learning those until I was able to keep my own personal power and not give it away. And then I've learned that, and there we go. Does that answer the question? it's going to surface in our life chart. I mean, it just happens, and then I can either keep giving my power away or I can reclaim it.
So basically, one of the only ways to access these lessons then is through regression.
It's through, really, it's through living our life. But I see what you mean. It's to find out what they are.
Yeah, you can get it in meditation. You can get it in dream time. There's all different ways that we try to understand why we're here and what we're learning. Dreams are amazing because they tell us so much.
Yeah.
So you can do it that way too. It doesn't always have to be a past life regression.
But to your point, I mean, it's like amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of healing and the amount of, understanding, healing through understanding, through regression or meditation or reflection and whatever works for every individual.
Right. Because some people, like I said before, just don't want to let go. And that way, if you tell them, well, you know, try to ask before you fall asleep. You know, what is the most significant past life that it's affecting this life that I need to know? And then dream about it, or maybe not, or, you know, whatever, or ask in meditation, or, you know, and once you keep doing the meditations, then maybe that you'll feel comfortable enough to do a regression. Some people do, some people don't. Some people just don't want to let go, and that's okay too. But there's different ways that you can get it, not just past life, but to me, past life is the best way to do it.
I completely agree.
Yeah, Joanne DiMaggio, the person I was telling you guys about earlier, she told me that she looks at this as the past life regressions as sacred work.
Yes.
Because
you don't want to mess around. Yeah, it's not something to play with.
No.
The emotionality of it is so intense when you're there. You know, so that's why you have to be very, you know, you have to know what you're doing. You have to, because you're messing with people's minds, really. Mm-hmm. So you want to be sure that you're doing it for the right reasons, not just playing around.
Yeah, like I was my first time.
that's how we get interested, isn't that, Ian? Because that's what I used to do, too, with my friends, you know, when I was little. And I would just think that they were pretending and just playing along. But then I had one of my neighbors, like her mother called my mother because she couldn't get her to fall asleep. She was too afraid, you know. So it's just different. That's how our interest starts. And that's how we know that that's in our chart, because that's where we charted to go and we keep going. And you think, oh, that's why I like doing that back then. Or, oh, that's like why I like to teach different things. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hold on. So you were doing this as a child too?
Yes. I like to mess around. I was pretending, you know, I was just like going, cause you know how you see them on TV, like the ooh, you know, kind of thing, all that fake stuff. But I was just and then I started talking to my friend and then she started telling me about stuff and I would answer her back and, you know, but I didn't know how to finish it off. I was what, like 7 or 8? And I'd go, you know, afterwards, I go, oh, you just made, I go, that was fun. I go, you made a really good story up. And then her eyes were like bugging out. And she's like, I want to go home. She did not even want to stay.
I want to go home. Yeah. That's me most days. I just, it's like my mantra. I want to go home.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. When I was a kid, I was doing whatever and you were just hypnotizing people. That's so interesting.
Or teaching. I would pretend I was a nun because I went to Catholic school and I'd start teaching. I would teach in my garage. Yes. And the kids would stay. I didn't understand it, but they did. It was like
so
we had
cute.
Like it was cool.
That's neat.
Yeah, that is interesting that you were doing that as a kid. It makes me wonder about a lot of stuff. But I have another question before I forget that I want to ask you guys. So you keep mentioning your chart. And is that like astrology that you're talking about?
No, it's your life chart that you write on the other side before you come into life. Because we plan our life sometimes because, you know, there's no time on the other side. So it may take 100 years or it may take 50 years or it may take 20 years. Our time because of our finite minds. But we have a council that we go to because we already have our spirit guide that's going to be helping us in the current life that we're going into. So they talk with the council. There's, I don't know how many people are on the council. I have 6. I don't know how many other people have. But then you go and tell them what you want to experience and how you want to experience it. And sometimes they'll go, well, you know what, right here, Vera, that's going to be a tough spot. We don't know if you can handle it. And you're on the other side, so everything's perfect. So you're going, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, until you exactly. come in life and then you forget everything that, you know, about what you wrote. But then it goes to, we believe in a Mother God as well. Other people might not, and that's okay. But Mother and Father God gets the contract for our finite minds, stamps it, saying, okay, go ahead. And then you come into life. Chrissy has a really interesting thing, what she remembers before she came into life. So
it's fascinating because I didn't remember it until I don't even know how many years.
It was at the office.
It was at the office. And it was so fascinating. I didn't know what it was, but we found out later it was the last antechamber before you come into life because everything was dark. All I saw was my hands. And I just kept looking at my hands and just repeating over and over, these are the hands of an artist. These are the hands of an artist. And that's all I remember. It's just this powerful experience. And then we found out later from Angus, it's the last antechamber. There's three antechambers before life. And in the last one, we're basically meditating on our most significant lessons, events in life. Because once we come into life, there's going to be an amnesia effect. Mm-hmm. We forget. Yeah. And so that's something that I was at a major crossroads later in my life of, again, giving my power away to someone else or following my purpose of what I was supposed to do, which was the art. And that was going to help to get me out of that situation. So it's just a great example of basically life chart and how we chart our lessons. And, you know, it's something that's really important to us to help us through life, through our life.
And the experience that I've had through all my clients and talking with them, when we start to forget really is around age 6 or 7. When we start going to school or hanging out with kids and they're not acting the way or thinking the way that we do, you know, in terms of philosophy or whatever it is, you know, because my grandson, he knew about Mother God. He knew everything about the philosophy I taught him. And then he started talking to his friends and he came home. He goes, Grandma, that's not true. He goes, I'm going to go to hell. And, you know, and I'm going, oh, no, you're not. It's just a different way of thinking, you know, a different way of being. Because if you think about it, when you listen to the children or little baby, not babies, but when they can start talking, they talk about past lives. They talk about the other side. It's fascinating. And then what do we tell them? Your imagination. Yeah. Which, that's a taboo word in whenever I was teaching hypnosis. It's like, no, there's no such thing. It's what you're experiencing. You can't know something unless you've experienced it before. Right. So that's hence the past lives. Yeah.
Yeah, I have heard of a lot of people who have had, like, it's actually a lot more common than most people might think, where your kid will start talking about, hey, when I was big, I used to go golfing or whatever it is. And then the parents will, like, say, like, oh, yeah, my kid talked about how he used to be big. And I just told him, yeah, okay, whatever. And I just kind of ignored it. But I really think that is really detrimental.
Yeah, because they start thinking, well, then maybe I am making it up. And they don't, you know, take hold of it. They just let it go. But then it can come back. If it's in your chart, you will remember things.
Right.
I don't know if you guys have heard about that little boy that started having night terrors and his parents were staunch Protestant or what, I can't remember what religion they were, but did not believe in past lives at all. And he kept having night terrors. And he's all over YouTube. They wrote a book. And he kept saying, my plane is burning, my plane. He would scream, and his parents couldn't get him to wake up. You know, so the father started researching them, because the little boy started giving him the name of the plane. And he was, what, 6, 5?
Yeah, he was really
little. Yeah, he was maybe even 4, because he kept talking about the plane. And all he ever wanted to play with was this bomber, this plane that his dad bought for him. And he started naming names of the people that he was around, his buddies, his Air Force buddies. He was his plane went down in Okinawa, I believe.
Mm-hmm, I believe so.
And he's talked about the land. He was a baby. Yeah. But he was a little boy. It is fascinating. He knew his sister's name.
In the past life.
In the past life.
Because he was a World War II pilot.
Right. And he knew her nickname that nobody knew. Only her family. And they all met. He met with his friends.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It gives me the chills.
It's so fascinating.
Amazing.
Yeah, and now that he's older, he's kind of like he doesn't want to talk about it anymore. But during the time he met with all the Air Force buddies that were still alive, he knew that his mother had painted a portrait of him and his sister, and the sister had it in her closet. And
it's amazing.
Yeah.
So cool.
Out of the mouth of babes.
Yeah, exactly.
And for him to make that up, and it wasn't during a time where there was social media, and there wasn't, you know, right. An internet and all that stuff, so.
And it was like he would always do this with the knobs, and uh-huh. He knew how the
to
plane, the cockpit was, uh-huh. And everything.
Yeah.
So fascinating.
Yeah, that's the case of James Leininger. Right there. Yep.
Is
his
name's his
James
name?
Leininger. Yeah. And I have actually talked about him several times on my show. And again, for the audience, yeah. I will link that in the description. So if
yes.
you haven't heard about it, you can look at it. It's really, really fascinating. There's a ton of documentation on
yeah.
it.
Exactly.
So, you know, that kind of stuff right there is what really gets me going. I
yeah.
really get excited about stuff like that when people are remembering past lives and then there's verifiable details like that guy I was telling you guys about earlier, John, the guy who remembered the African
mm-hmm.
tribe and then was able to describe it.
Right.
I love that
exactly.
kind of stuff. And when you were
yeah.
well, you were talking
yeah.
about people who spoke
Go
different
ahead.
Languages in regressions
right.
who didn't
mm-hmm.
who don't speak that language.
Yes. They were a different ethnicity.
Yes.
It was they had nobody in the family that spoke Japanese.
And when you remembered your life in England
oh,
and the
yeah.
and the street.
Oh yeah, it was during whenever I was teaching a class for Sylvia's you know, it was a session. And so one of the students was regressing me so that people can see how to do it. And I was telling them about the street I was walking down and I named the street and there was water to one side and as I was doing it, this one kid was looking things up on his phone. And he was going, oh, my God. And afterwards, he was telling everybody, he goes, it's right here.
Oh, that's so
yeah,
cool. Because
yeah.
the street name and everything
yeah,
and the cobblestone
yeah.
uh-huh. is just amazing. It's
or
so
with
cool.
Darren, whenever I had a regression with one of the instructors that was with me, the co-instructor, and I was telling him about a past life we had together in Tahiti. And I described the hut. I described everything. I've never been there. You know, and he likes to travel. He's a world traveler. And he went to Tahiti, and he like told me afterwards, he goes, I kid you not, it's exactly the way you saw it.
That's so
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, because he kept going, no, I don't think they had that back then. But it was right there.
That's
yeah.
really cool.
It's fascinating. If you allow yourself to, you know, to keep going and to believe what you're seeing, because
right.
then you start second-guessing yourself a lot. I even do it sometimes.
Right.
You know,
because,
so it's just human nature.
Because our analytical mind
right.
comes into it. And that's part of the test, isn't it? It's part of this planet.
Yes.
I mean, it is.
That is really interesting to me, all that stuff. Everything that you just said.
Yeah.
I was just eating it up. One thing
yeah.
I kind of want to circle back to is you talk about, I haven't heard that before, the birth charts. Or the, not the birth charts, the life mm-hmm. chart.
Life chart.
So if you guys could elaborate on that, I'd be interested, and I'm sure my audience would like to hear about it too. What is it? What's that about? How do you categorize it? Any information you can provide about that? Because I haven't really heard about that before.
Well, the way that Angus has described it, it's so intricate.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a phone book. It's so intricate. He was talking about a meeting. And he gave the trajectory. It was like three numbers. He was like, oh, that's 37, 46, 18 in your chart. I mean, that's how intricate your life chart has what everything that you plan that you wanted to learn in life. And, of course, you know, people usually one of the first things that we jump to is, well, what about free will? You know, I can do what I want to do. And it's like, of course, you know, we have free will on the other side of what we want to learn. And once we're into life, of course, we can do different things, but we still have lessons that we charted in our life to learn no matter what. Like
a car accident.
Yes. If we're going to chart an injury, you know, that's where, you know, well, it's kind of a big long subject, isn't it? But
I know.
But yeah, you chart these spiritual lessons that you're going to learn, and they're going to be, sometimes we'll go off our chart a little bit. We'll walk over
it's
here.
It's called lateral movement.
Yeah. But eventually we will learn it. Okay. For example, if I'm afraid to stand up for myself, then I'm not learning my lessons. And that means I'm kind of going off chart a little bit, right? Well, eventually there's going to be a situation like, well, let's say somebody else is in jeopardy. And if I don't learn it there, this person's going to get hurt. So I might put something in my chart like that so that damn well I'm going to get that lesson. I'm going to stand up for myself or whatever, right? I'm just using that as an example.
But sometimes people have to learn the hard way.
Right.
That's why I talk about lateral movement. Because sometimes, okay, you're at a crossroads. And you charted this accident or whatever it is. You could have a fender bender. You can have like an all out where you have to go to the hospital. But it's still a car accident. So it depends on how you want to experience at the time. You may just say, well, no, I don't want to do the full on right now. Just let's do a fender bender. And at least I learned that. Because it's still a car accident. So, I mean, it's just kind of an analogy, but it goes into every aspect of your life.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's amazing lessons that we want to learn. You know, sometimes we'll have a past life that's really, like, let's say life right before this one, that's extremely, maybe even traumatizing. And we come into this life and we want to, you can almost heal from that past life by charting a lifetime where you learn how it feels to be loved. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our lessons don't always necessarily mean it's a bad, you know,
right.
Like a bad negative thing coming. It's amazingly beautiful lessons in life too. So it's just all over the gamut. But we chart these things and we chart people. You know, we chart the different things that we want to learn and tests that we want to go through.
Yeah.
To
And we're our own judge. It's not like God is judging us and punishing us. To us, God is all loving. He's a parent.
Right.
It's like, I wouldn't want to damn my child to hell.
Right.
You know, so
right.
It's just, it's experiences. There's good people, of course, and then there's not so good people.
Right.
So it's all different aspects. I mean, we can go deep if you want, but
yeah.
It'll take a long time.
Yeah. And ultimately, it is to learn.
Right.
We want to gain these virtues within ourselves. We want to forge our strength through the fire, as they say, you know, through going through our tests. We want to learn how to see, to feel love or to see our beauty or whatever it is. Our inner beauty is what I'm trying to say.
And other people learn while you're learning.
Yes.
Because they see what you're going through and they adapt it to whatever it is you're going through.
Right. There's compassion. Mm-hmm. There's courage. There's all kinds of different virtues that we
right.
want to learn.
So let me ask you guys kind of a hard question, if that's okay.
Okay.
So, and you know, if you don't want to answer, you don't have to. So based off of all that stuff, and I've seen this question asked a few times, and I haven't had the opportunity to ask it on the show because it just hasn't come up. So based off of all that stuff, in this plane of existence on Earth, is free will an illusion?
Ooh, it's a good one.
Yeah. You go first, Chris.
Okay, I'm ready.
Hope.
Well, that's a good question, but that's kind of like what we were just talking about, I think, because, you know, one of the things that the other side has told us through Vera is that we ultimately have our free will on the other side. So, of course, you know, we're in life and we have to follow our chart, but there's lateral movement. So we are going to follow our chart in our own way.
Because, you know, like I said, some people have to learn the hard way.
Right. And,
yeah.
you know,
so it
yeah.
takes a little bit longer to get where you could have gotten if you just went straight ahead. So, but
right.
you needed other lessons to learn.
Yeah.
To
so,
get there.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, yeah, we have lateral movement, but no matter what, we still have lessons. It doesn't mean that, like, you know, well, I'm going to show my free will. I'm going to run outside right now and jump off the curb. And that's great. You know, we can we can do whatever we want. But the main lessons is what is going to be there. You know, I mean, it could be next week. It could be a year from now. I'm going to have this lesson where I'm going to be with this individual and I need to do this thing and learn this lesson or that kind of thing. So ultimately, our free will is on the other side. But in life, we still have lateral movement of how we want to learn it. And sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not.
It's okay.
But sometimes we don't. You know, and that's when we come back into life and we try again.
Because we might repeat what we did in the previous life mm-hmm. that we said, oh no, we're going to change it this time.
Yeah.
And we don't. And that's okay too. It's still learning.
Right, yeah.
So this reality or this plane of existence then is basically like a simulation then?
I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it's so fascinating because as strange as it sounds, what the other side has told us is that they're more alive than we are.
Yeah. Because our bodies die. Mm-hmm. They're alive on the other side. So,
yeah. And you know, that's a common thing among near death experiences as well, mm-hmm. where they go, everything like colors were more vibrant. Everything right. was just like,
and it's true.
Happier, exactly. And I didn't want to go back in my body, and they call their body a thing. They're like, I don't want to go back in that thing.
Yeah. Because we feel like this planet is the most negative to right. be, because we go to different planets for past lives, right? Mm-hmm. But this is like, to us, in our philosophy anyway, this is the Harvard
yeah.
of the other planets, because this is the most negative, and it's where you really, really learn your lessons.
And you can see it. I mean, there's sex trafficking, there's child abuse, there's horrific disasters and all kind, you know, illness and disease and things like that that happen here that we have to, you know, overcome and deal with and get
through.
And try
to rectify. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard that a couple of different times too, that a lot of people think that Earth is the most difficult place to be there. But there are some people that say that, I talked to one guy who said there's two other planets that he's astral projected to that were worse than Earth. Which is interesting.
Yeah. I've not experienced that yet. You never know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's just interesting to talk about. So, you know, kind of switching subjects. Sorry, I have a lot to ask you guys. Yeah. So I noticed that, you know, that the drawings behind you guys, they're very beautiful, very well done. There's a woman with a sword. I don't know if she has wings or if it's clouds, but it's she's intimidating and beautiful and all that stuff. So if you don't mind, I've been staring at it this entire time.
Yes. Isn't she awesome? That's Mother God.
Okay. Yes. So that's a picture I drew of Mother God. And so like I was saying, my art is based on Vera's descriptions. And Mother God appears in many different, you know, races. And this is just one. So I have a series and I have more to draw, obviously. But so this is one interpretation. It's called Asna, and that is a name that she's referred to and she goes by on the other side. Angus says that we call her mother on the other side.
That's
but that's one of her names.
Yeah.
This sword she is offering to you. She's also for protection. Her sword is a double.
It's symbology. It's
yeah,
not like
it's symbology.
Trying to kill people.
Yeah, exactly. It's to protect.
Yeah.
Right. She's handing you the sword, right? So that's like our mission in life, our purpose
the empowerment.
In life.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all the clouds that's billowing out around her, like this power and the flowers around her, the doves of love that are coming, exuding from her for us as her children.
I love the way Chrissy does the eyes. They're just so, I mean, if you see the eyes, they're penetrating. It's just amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, if I don't get the eyes right, I have to start over.
Yeah.
Because the eyes are the window to the soul, so it's got to be captured.
That's really interesting because, you know, a lot of what we'll just call mainstream religions, there is no Mother God.
Yeah, patriarchal.
Yeah. And you guys have talked about God and Mother God, so what's the relationship on that?
Oh, great questions. So... Mother and Father. So Father God is pure intellect, mm-hmm. and Mother God is pure emotion. So the intellect is what holds us. like a steadfast. Father God holds static. Us. Static, mm-hmm. right. And Mother God is what moves, because emotion moves and creates.
So she's the mover and shaker.
Right. So she intervenes and intercedes.
Like most mothers.
Yes. So she intercedes. She can intercede in our chart to help us, you know, that type of thing. And she's, yeah, protection. I mean, talk about going to the top for protection, right?
Exactly.
So that would be like the difference. But basically, when you're praying to God, you're addressing God. And it really doesn't matter, because they both obviously get it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's whatever you resonate to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just think it makes more sense that if we're supposed to be created in their
image.
Image.
Right.
Then, you know, I don't think we came from Adam's rib.
Right.
kind of thing. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But that makes sense that we have a mother and a father.
Right.
And that's representative of who we are.
Yeah, everything in nature, mm-hmm. there's a masculine and a feminine.
Right.
And even in the Bible, you know, it says that let us create man or mankind in our image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
there's a lot of little things like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that were taken out.
Exactly. That one's accidentally like stayed in there. Yeah, they forgot to take it out.
So you guys believe in two separate consciousnesses, if I could say that word. It's not like one consciousness then. Like source. Like a lot of people will refer to it as source or spirit, where it's like a collective consciousness almost. So you guys don't believe in that? You believe in two separate entities that are a mother and a father then?
But they're together.
Yeah, but they are together.
To me, they're the source.
Yeah, that's exactly how I view it too, because that's kind of how it was explained to us when we asked Angus. It's kind of hard, I guess, for our finite minds, mm-hmm. but they are, and it kind of makes sense. If they're all knowing, then they would be one in that way.
Yeah.
Because when we are, I mean, we are so connected to God that God knows what we're experiencing. We're so connected. We don't have to go through someone else or a, you know, a religious figure or whatever.
And that's what religion doesn't like.
Right, to connect with God. And so we're so connected that, yes, we're...
I should say most religions, not all religions.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like they're one in a way.
That's how I see them.
Right. I know, again, finite minds, but when we go home, we'll have it all figured out.
We'll meet on the other side, Ian.
We'll be like, okay, now we get it.
We always say, flag this moment.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it.
So they're basically separate aspects of the same thing energy. Then.
Right.
Okay.
We have male-female energy within ourselves, even though outwardly I'm female. But there's still that male energy as well.
You know, it kind of reminds me of how it could be a soulmate, but not even that. Because, like, sometimes you can share a bubble with someone.
Yeah.
And you just know what they're thinking. You, like, kind of look at each other and you're like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I kind of picture, you know.
Yeah.
Mother and father kind of have it together there.
Okay. Have you guys ever heard of Dr. Michael Newton?
Yes.
So, in his work, he talks about how every soul is in kind of, he even categorizes it, and he has like a chart and everything where he goes through of like the different soul colors and how you get closer and closer to what he calls like basically God, right? And how once you get to a certain level and you've learned all the lessons that you've wanted to learn or that you have to learn or whatever it is, you basically ascend back into this God consciousness, and you basically meld back into it, and all of your experience just goes to them. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, okay. So what we've learned is that we can keep our own identity, and that entities that don't learn that want to be very negative, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, like really, really bad. Get absorbed back into the Godhead. But we do have that opportunity to keep our own individual, because we all are all a spark of the divine.
Right.
But we have that opportunity to keep that. And some actually choose to go back into the Godhead, mm-hmm. and not keep their own individual individuality.
So how far, in your guys' opinion, how far does that choice go until, or if, what's the best way to ask this? So we learn and then we have the opportunity to go into the Godhead or get absorbed back into Source or whatever, or we go until we have to go into the Godhead. Does that make sense? Like, is it a choice?
No, that makes sense.
Or do we do it because we have to?
I don't think that Mother and Father God would ever, being ultimate in love, would ever force us to do anything that we wouldn't want to do. I don't think so. I mean, ultimately, I mean, if we come into life because it's our choice and we want to learn and we want to perfect our soul and learn to be as much like God as we possibly can, while we retain an imperfection, because on the other side, we know that we can never be perfect right, like God is. But if we're given that opportunity, I mean, I wouldn't imagine that we would be forced to just give that all up. I mean, that's what we're doing here.
But we'll find out when we get to the other side,
yeah,
Ian.
Exactly.
Yeah, or those imperfections are what God is looking for.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, because there are so many planets, mm-hmm, that we help, you know. I mean, there's so much learning that can just go on and on and on, that we want to help each other and help other worlds, and there's so much that we want to do. It's always like we're always continually growing, yeah, and learning and more. So I don't see that ever ending, but we'll find out when we go home, I guess.
Yeah. But that's what makes sense to us.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for answering those questions. Yeah. I have one more question.
Sure.
The question that I have for you is about judgment and stuff. So you mentioned that we judge ourselves. How does that process work? So we die, we leave our bodies, and then what happens?
Oh, this is a great one too. Mm-hmm. I love your question so much.
Yes.
Okay. So we're not judged when we go to the other side, but
by Mother and Father.
By Mother and Father God. But there are entities that have lost their light and they've chosen to turn away from God, right? So they recycle back into this world. And
this is their heaven.
Yeah, this is their heaven. This is almost like our hell in a way, because of, like we mentioned before, the abuse and mm-hmm, the terror and all that stuff that happens here. But anyway, so we don't believe that there's a hell that they go to per se, but they recycle back in, and that's our test to overcome. And and then we go home to the other side and
we have a party.
Right.
No, truly. There's people there to greet us and it's like happy times, but then we have to go to the scanning machine. That's part of the process. We call like a scanning machine. And then we see everything that we've ever done in the life we just left. We see every nuance. We see everybody we hurt, intentionally or not intentionally. We see everything so we can see, did we learn exactly what we wanted to learn and how we learned it? It's no judgment from anyone else but us and right, how we want to evolve our soul, kind of thing. That's how we believe.
And that's when we have the opportunity to come back again.
Mm-hmm.
If we would like.
So the life review.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that before.
I could be with you and, you know, then you can go talk to the council and see how you did. It's all that stuff. We do have, jobs on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't sit on a cloud with a harp, you know. I don't believe.
Yeah, no, yeah. No. I don't believe that either.
Which, I mean, I guess it would be kind of fun, but boring after a while.
Is that the Council of Elders that you're referencing?
The Council, mm-hmm, yes.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of them too. Well, you know, I always let people plug their website, and I know you guys have your podcast and your YouTube channel. Yeah. If you guys want to just talk about that stuff real quick, that'd be amazing.
Absolutely. Well, we have a YouTube channel that we're live every Saturday, 1:00 Pacific time. That's Souls Enlightenment with Vera and Christina. And we also have our website, and we also have a nonprofit website. So our website is SE Loves You, and that's letteru.com. And that's where we have all our psychic, you know, our evenings with Angus that we were talking about, our classes and our art. And then our nonprofit is sesouls.org.
And that's Sight of Enlightened Souls.
Yeah. And so there we have, you know, hypnosis sessions and spiritual gatherings every Sunday. That's on Zoom. And yeah.
Not every Sunday. One Sunday a month.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank
Not
you.
Yet, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
And well, then we have the podcast.
Yeah, too. And our podcast on Anchor. It's Vera. I mean, it's Souls Enlightenment with Vera and Chrissy. It's our podcast.
Thanks That's for wonderful. Letting us plug.
Yeah,
Ian.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And links to those can be found in the description for any listeners. And what kind of a message do you guys want to leave for people? If you could just kind of sum up your message and get it out there, what would you guys say it is?
Well, I would say that, you know, this information that we discover from the other side or through regression is empowering and healing. And it gives you understanding to your life that...
That's the main thing, to understand why we're here and why we're going through what we're going through.
Exactly.
Instead of like, why is this happening to me?
It's,
you know, it's a lot of responsibility, and some people don't like that. They
right.
Sometimes they want to say, well, it's that person's fault or, you know, whatever it is. But at least you'll understand why you're here.
Yeah.
That's what my passion is.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so empowering. It's like, oh, yeah, I own it. And yeah. I learned my lesson.
And then the tools, the tools that you can utilize to be able to get that.
Right. And shed that anxiety or whatever it is and move forward. And
just keep on moving. That's the thing.
Exactly.
One foot in front of the other.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes just one foot. Sometimes you can run. It just depends. But we have to keep moving.
Well, that's a wonderful answer. Well, thank you. Thank you guys so much for coming on to my podcast.
Welcome. Thank you for inviting
us. Thank you so much.
Ian.
It was a lot of fun.
You're going to have to come on our show.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
That's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank Vera and Chrissy for coming on to the show. I'd also like to thank you for tuning in. Head on over to YouTube. Check out Souls Enlightenment with Vera and Chrissy. I know that they would love to have you there. I also have, for myself, a Facebook and a Twitter and all sorts of stuff. You can go follow me and get some additional content and links to other creators and stuff. If you like the show, I'd appreciate you subscribing in your podcast player and sharing the show around with anyone you think might be interested or even someone who you think would be interested in coming onto the show. If you're interested in coming onto the podcast and talking with me about your experiences, send me an email. My email is theregressionsession@gmail.com, and I would love to have you on the show.